Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is the United States v. Abasta Ruiz. Is that Mr. Chippy?
Chaffee, Your Honor.
Chaffee.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Imani Chaffee. I represent the appellant, Mr. Abasta Ruiz. In this case, Your Honor, the district court in sentencing Mr. Abasta Ruiz failed to adequately explain the chosen sentence that it gave him. At sentencing and in the district court, Mr. Abasta Ruiz argued that his case or the sentence, the guideline sentence for illegal reentry here in the Northern District of Illinois was unjust, created a disparity between those defendants in different districts who had what's called, for lack of a better word, a fast-track program in districts out in Arizona, California, Nebraska, and Washington State. Mr. Abasta Ruiz argued that his sentence, the sentence of 77 months, was a disparity and asked the court to consider that disparity when looking at the 3553A guidelines. The district court, we argue, didn't adequately explain its sentence and didn't adequately review or consider the disparity issue that Mr. Abasta Ruiz raised below. The district court denied or did not give him a sentence that would have been commensurate or equal to those defendants who do have fast-track districts or come under fast-track jurisdictions out in Nebraska, Washington State, or in Phoenix.
Is it clear he would have qualified?
It is clear, Your Honor. In fact, Mr. Abasta Ruiz, if he had been in the in Arizona, in the Phoenix and Yuma division or district, he would have received the exact sentence that he was asking for 51 months regarding the four-level reduction under the guidelines.
Well, is that certain? Don't these programs typically require a fast guilty plea?
That's true, Your Honor. They do require a fast guilty plea.
He didn't enter a fast guilty plea.
He did not, Your Honor, but in my discussions with Mr. Abasta Ruiz, there is no doubt that if he had been offered or if a fast-track program had existed here in the Northern District of Illinois and that option was open to him, he would have pled guilty as required by that program. And so there's no doubt that if that program existed or a similar program like the one in Phoenix, he would have pled guilty. He would have waived his right to appeal to get the 51-month sentence or the full-level reduction. It's true that he didn't plead guilty immediately after being indicted, but, you know, that option wasn't open to him. It wasn't. The government didn't make a fast-track offer, didn't make an offer to reduce his sentence if he had pled guilty. If they did, he would have pled guilty. And so, yeah, he was a little different in that sense. But I think in all the ways that it matters with regards to his criminal history, conduct, with regards to the fact that he'd even come back into the country twice, he was exactly situated to those defendants and those folks who received fast-track departures and fast-track sentences in Arizona and California and in Nebraska and Washington State. And in fact, the district court, when sentencing Mr. Abasta Ruiz, kind of only opined in a general way that he had treated coming back to the country as a revolving door. The fact of the matter, though, is that Mr. Abasta Ruiz had only come back into the country twice after having been deported. And the last time he came back was 10 years ago. When he did come back, he wasn't convicted again, I think received maybe one arrest, and he came back, worked, helped his family, and started cooperating with the DEA and became an informant with the DEA. So he didn't come back to start committing crimes. He came back to help his family and help the government of the United States. His cooperation, his work with the DEA led to a bust where over $100,000 of drug money was seized by the DEA agents here out of Chicago.
Well, that cooperation was 4 years after his most recent illegal reentry, right?
It was.
So it's a little bit of a stretch to suggest that he came back to cooperate with the United States.
Oh, I'm not suggesting, Your Honor, that his sole reason for coming back, or that even at the time he came back in 2001, that was his objective. What I'm just trying to express to the court is, what happened, what did he do with his life when he did come back? I'm not suggesting that when he was in Mexico, he came back to the United States just specifically to cooperate. But what happened when he did come back into the country is that he did begin working with the government. And we think that's important. In addition, Your Honor, the district court was actually precluded from, even if the district court even wanted to give Mr. Bosa-Ruiz a below-guideline sentence based on the fast-track disparity. This court's precedent at that time would have precluded the district court from doing so. To our mind, after looking at the district court's statements and reasons for not giving Mr. Bosa-Ruiz a fast-track sentence, is not clear that the court wouldn't do so if this case was remanded again. It's not even clear, just looking at the court's own statements, that the court really inadequately considered the disparity issue at all. The court, when mentioning that Mr. Bosa-Ruiz came back into the country a couple of times, made no statement or no effort to show, or did not show, whether that was something that other defendants in these fast-track districts had not done, or if that would have precluded Mr. Bosa-Ruiz from getting a fast-track sentence if he was in a fast-track district. And since the district court below just made a general statement about Mr. Bosa-Ruiz coming back into the country, but in no way tied that statement or the court's feelings to whether he was still being treated differently or there was disparity between him and folks charged with this offense in these fast-track districts. In addition, Your Honor, we think that without a clear and explicit statement from the district court that even if it could have reduced Mr. Bosa-Ruiz's sentence, it would not, we think this court case should be remanded. There was no clear statement from the district court and no evidence that if she would have considered the disparity issue in total and not just opine about the court's feelings about him coming back into the country twice, whether she would not have reduced the sentence or not.
She was aware of the programs, though.
She was aware. She did mention the programs and then questioned the wisdom of the programs based on the fact that he came back into the country twice.
Wasn't she concerned about his return to the country so soon after deportation?
The district court was concerned about that. But again, we're not saying that was not a legitimate concern, but we don't see how, in our mind, that statement of the court's concerned about how soon Mr. Bosa-Ruiz came back into the country has anything to do with the disparity issue that he raised, or whether the district court even looked to see whether that would have prohibited him from being a fast-track participant in these other districts. We think it's that kind of clear statement or showing that the district court needs to do.
All right. Want to reserve some time?
I do. If there are no further questions, I reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Yonah?
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Jason Yonan, and I'm appearing today on behalf of the United States. The district court in this case did not commit procedural error in sentencing the defendant at the low end of the guideline range because she considered the defendant's fast-track disparity argument and chose to weigh other factors more heavily when imposing its sentence against the defendant. At no time during the sentencing hearing did the district court indicate that she believed she was categorically excluded from considering the defendant's fast-track argument. Instead, she addressed the argument and expressed concern about giving the defendant the benefit of a fast-track disparity argument based on his criminal history, based on his repeated illegal reentries it back into the country and based on the need for both specific and general deterrence. Procedurally, the district court was required to do no more. The district court's approach at sentencing was also entirely consistent with this court's opinion in Reyes-Hernandez, where the court stated that district courts can consider fast-track disparities in their 3553A analysis, but are not required to do so. And that's exactly what the district court did in this case. She addressed the argument, chose to weigh other factors more heavily in her 3553A analysis, and imposed a sentence at the low end of the guideline range. For these reasons, Your Honors, the government would ask that the court affirm the sentence that the district court imposed. Thank you.
Thanks, Your Honor. All right. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.